Greetings, friends. If you would turn in your copies of God's Word to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. There, Jesus is speaking parables and he explains the purpose of parables that we would hear and we would understand and that others would be ever seeing and never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. And we hope and pray that the Lord would give us understanding this day as we wait upon God's word. In Mark chapter 4, we begin the reading in verse 14 as Jesus explains the parable of the sower and the four soils. And this is what he says, Mark 4, verse 14 and following. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Since the reading of God's word, may he bless it this day. Well, friends, now is a time of fullness, isn't it? It's a time that feels very full in your lives as you look over all of your syllabi. The beginning of a new school year, maybe for the very first time, taking up a new degree, and you're seeing the hundreds upon hundreds of pages of reading that you need to do. And you're looking at all of the assignments and pages that you have to write, and you aren't even yet considering all of the studying that you need to do for your exams and thinking, when am I possibly going to do all of this in the midst of the ordinary busyness of life? Not to mention my job and my family and my kids and so forth. It is a time of great busyness, and it is a time that we need to be reminded to find rest in the ministry of the word. To find rest in the ministry of the word, particularly as Jesus speaks in verses 18 and 19 about the seed sown among the thorns and all of these various cares and busynesses and difficulties and troubles of the world that seek to choke out the ministry of the word. We must find rest in the ministry of the word. That's a simple point, and it's an ambiguous point, intentionally so. Because to find rest in the ministry of the word could mean that we need to meditate upon the word and be ministered to by the word and to sit at Jesus' feet. It could also mean that we need to be ministered to when the word is brought to us. That we need to find rest as the word is preached and proclaimed and as we sit under it. And we need to find rest in that experience. And it also could mean that we need to find rest as we labor in the ministry of the word. As you're being trained to do so, as perhaps you are already doing so, we need to find rest as we take up the ministry of the word ourselves. And it can mean all of those things, because indeed I mean all of those things, and I hope we will see that in our time this morning. But as we consider the third bad soil, the thorns, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, these things seek to choke out the ministry of the word and to threaten the fact that we seek to find rest in the ministry of it. Now, at this point, you might be saying, Pastor, you have it all wrong, because why are you applying verses 18 and 19 to us when Jesus is speaking that these are the bad soils? We're the good soil. We have received the word with faith, and the Spirit has worked in us, and we are glad to sit under the word, and it is bearing fruit in our lives. That's why we're studying for the ministry of the kingdom, that we might go out and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. But isn't that how we often listen to sermons? That the sermons are always for everyone else. I hope Johnny hears this. He really needs it. He needs to be converted. Or more grievous still, I hope my spouse hears it. Right? We tend to think that the word is for everyone but ourselves at times, and we need to ask, how is it that even this, the bad soil, warns us and causes us to take stock of ourselves? And if it's possible that the thorns can choke out the ministry of the word in unbelievers' lives, don't we need to take stock of that and ensure that it's not choking out the word in believers' lives? And also, isn't there the fact that we need to take stock to ensure that we are good soil? Are we receiving the word by faith and bearing fruit for the kingdom? But don't take my word for it. Take John Calvin's word for it, that this is applicable to Christians, because we all want to know where Johnny C. lines up, right? As long as we line up with John Calvin, we know we're in a good boat. But John Calvin says of this passage, "Each of us ought to endeavor to tear the thorns out of his heart if we do not choose that the word of God should be choked. For there is not one of us whose heart is not filled with a vast quantity, as I may say, a thick forest of thorns. Nay more, the very number of thorns, which is so prodigious that it ought to shake off our sloth, is the reason why most people give themselves no trouble about them." The thorns are so numerous in our lives. It's like my garden beds at home. Just let the weeds grow up, because there's just too many. But Calvin is suggesting, and Jesus is suggesting, that we need to be about the work of thorn removal. So what are these thorns that seek to choke out the ministry of the word in our lives? Well, first, it's the cares of the world. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew puts a point on it by translating it, the worries of this life. The everyday anxieties and stresses and burdens of life. Day-to-day, ordinary living people facing the problems of life seek to choke out the ministry of the word. And isn't that fascinating that it's not a false gospel that is of greatest threat to us with regard to the ministry of the word, but it's just everyday busyness and worries. It's the extra hours at work. It's the fact that dinner went too late and now there's no time for family worship. It's the fact that your parents are aging and there are so many cares and concerns involved with them that you're missing worship more and more, Bible study and so forth. There's so much that seeks to crowd in on the fruitful ministry of the word in our lives. Or just to take a random stab in the dark here, perhaps you've just begun a new master's program and there are thousands of pages being piled up and it's seeking to sap your joy and steal your mind and heart away from meditating on the Lord Jesus himself in the midst of it all. In all of these, we fill our day-to-day lives with things that threaten to choke our spiritual walks with the Lord. And our society is all about these cares of the world, because our society seems to think that busyness is a badge of honor. Do you ever find that? That you share how busy your workload is and you enter into this game of one-upmanship with someone else? Oh, well, that's not as bad as my week, right? And so on and so forth. I've been found at times in my office just sitting and thinking, and people come in on me sitting and thinking and ask, "Is everything okay?" As though it's not normal in our society to just sit and think. And yet how much effort of the ministry of the word is spent just in that way? Sitting, meditating, reading, praying, thinking, pondering, letting our minds drift to the Lord Jesus himself. And so all of the things that crowd in seek to choke that out, so that prayer before meals becomes sufficient enough for our prayer closets. And Jesus here is saying that it is one of the greatest threats to our spirituality, the ordinary difficulties of life. And we must ask ourselves the question, what set of values are driving your schedules? And what priorities are driving your lives? Is it the priorities of the world or the priorities of the word? Well, the second thorn that Jesus mentions here is Time spent on riches. Time spent on riches. Now, you might say, Pastor, you've just misread that. It actually says the deceitfulness of riches. You're not engaging in good hermeneutics and good translation work here. Now, the time spent on riches, it comes from the fact that what are the deceitfulnesses of riches? How is it that riches deceive us? Don't we buy into the lie that if we just have the next dollar, or if we have the next gadget, or if we have a newer house and a newer car, then we will have more free time. Then we will be able to focus on and prioritize the ministry of the word. We are tempted time and time again to buy into the lie that money will solve the cares of the world. And what in fact ends up happening is that we end up chasing after riches and it fills even more of our time. So that when we buy that new gadget, we have to spend time learning it and maintaining it. Or when we get that next dollar, how much time was spent earning it and investing it and caring for it? And so it is a perpetually cascading cause and effect. After all, it's statistically true that the most stressed out people on the planet live in the most affluent countries. Now, it would be interesting to tread out why that is and all of the reasons for it, but at one of the most simple levels, can't we say it's because wealth tends to cause more work and more anxiety and more cares? And aren't we warned time and again of the dangers of money or the love of money being the root of all evil? And that which we set our heart upon, we are called to take stock of where our treasure is, because there our heart will be also. We are constantly tempted to buy into the lie that money will provide us peace and rest and ease, when in fact it's just the opposite. The other thorn that Jesus mentions here is the priority of other things, prioritizing everything besides the ministry of the word. And notice that there's also a progression here in our parable. It speaks not only of the word sown in the various soils, but it also speaks of fruit grown. Fruit produced from the good soil, bearing 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And so the priority of everything else not only crowds out the ministry of the word, but bearing fruit for the kingdom. And what is it that is hindering us most from bearing fruit for the kingdom? Isn't it that we are busy with so many other things? Why do your friends say they are not able to get together for additional fellowship? Isn't it often said we're just too busy? Or don't you find that's the case for yourself as well? Why don't you open your home up to additional hospitality? Because you're so busy that to open your home up one other night of the week is just so exhausting. You just want more time to rest. You see, we prioritize everything else but the ministry. And we find ourselves attempting to squeeze both the ministry of the word and bearing fruit for the kingdom along with the cares of the world. We want to cram them both in together. And Jesus is effectively saying they don't exist together. What is it that we are prioritizing at the exclusion of the other? Oftentimes people will say, I just don't have time to read my Bibles, or I can't find time for my prayer closet. And that's true. We don't find time. We have to prioritize the time. We have to make time. We have to make sure that that takes priority in our lives and prioritizing the public ministry of the word and so forth. But the church can also be an enemy of this as well. That the church can be so programatized that it ends up crowding out the good things and the sweet things, and that the good ends up being an enemy of the best. What is it that we are prioritizing? And how easily are we able to prioritize all of the cares of the world so that we can take up a new television show and easily give 24 hours to it to watch a season? But are we just as easy to prioritize that much time for the sake of the word of God? But in all of this, we must find rest in the ministry of the word itself. In these various soils, the one thing that distinguishes the good soil from the bad soil is that the good soil bears fruit. And that is not to say that bearing fruit saves us, but the priority of the Christian over and against the trials and the cares of the world and the priorities of others, other things must be the ministry of the word and the kingdom of God. We must set our minds to make that our chief priority among all other things. Not amassing stuff and the activities of this life that detracts from the fruitfulness of the kingdom. But how is it that we do that? Or what example do we look to do that? After all, in chapter 4 of Mark's gospel, we could look back at chapter 1, 2, and 3 that preceded chapter 4. That's a very astute observation, right? You have very astute observations from the pulpit today. Chapter 1, 2, and 3 precede chapter 4. And in those chapters, what do we see Jesus doing? We see him being very busy. And is the Lord Jesus sinfully busy in all that he is engaging in chapters 1, 2, and 3? He finds himself so busy at times that he's not even able to eat. Or so crowded in by people that he has to get off the land and be in a boat because there's just so much activity. Or he finds himself needing to steal away in the early mornings of the hours, or the early hours of the morning, in order to get time with his heavenly Father. And is this a picture of sinful overbusyness? Certainly not. Because even though Jesus is tempted in every way, we are yet without sin. And so the example that we see of the Lord Jesus in his life is that he was not sinfully overbusy at all, but instead what he is doing is rightly ordering his life to chiefly and singularly prioritize bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. After all, how is it that a seed bears fruit? Do the scriptures not say that it needs to fall to the ground and die? That the Lord Jesus prioritized accomplishing the ministry of the word and the kingdom of God, bringing it to pass, so much so that he gave his very life for it. He was prioritizing it with every breath, with everything that he did. He was entirely given to the ministry of the word, that the seed of the word might go forth to us, and that our hearts might be regenerated to be the good soil to receive that seed in order for it to bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. You see, Jesus was laser focused on that which was most important, to do the will of the Father, to seek and save the lost, to make the blind see and the deaf hear and the lame walk and the dead to rise again. He was laser focused on accomplishing the gospel. And even as the cares of the world crowded in upon Jesus, seeking to threaten that, they never did, because he set his face like flint to prioritize what needed to be most prioritized. And that is the example that we have for us. As we are tempted with being over busy and crowding out the ministry of the word and all that that means, we must look to the Lord Jesus Christ and prioritize as he prioritized the ministry of the word, so that we would be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Everything that we do for the sake of the kingdom is not in vain, and therefore it is worth prioritizing. But have you ever tried to get out of a boat and onto a dock before the boat was appropriately tied to the dock? Or have you ever seen someone who is doing this and they begin to get stretched, right? And they feel the press. And so many times I think we feel the stretch and the press because we want to somehow comfortably keep feet in both kingdoms. The kingdom of this world, the cares of this world, all of the love of riches and the cares of riches and prioritizing everything else. We want to keep our feet comfortably in that kingdom as well as in the kingdom of the Lord. We want both, but we can't have both, friends. We need to prioritize the kingdom of God, and in so doing, find rest in the ministry of the word. May it be so. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for your word that perhaps at first blush seems like it is not applicable to us. It's for others. It's for those bad soils out there, Lord. And yet, may we take stock of the prodigious weeds that are present in our hearts and our lives, that we would be about the work of uprooting them, that your spirit would be about the work of uprooting them, that we would be laser focused on that which you have us to do, to bearing fruit for your kingdom, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Father, may we not be overwhelmed by the busyness of this world, but instead may we joy and delight to do the will of our Father in heaven, and to prioritize such. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn to Psalm 103, Selection D at this time. Psalm 103, Selection D. And let us stand as we conclude